Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I'm real sorry. I just got caught up. I hear you. I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to put myself on mute, and may Allah bless you with a good broadcast.
Shukran. Thank you so much, and may Allah bless you. And I hope that all is going well for you. Thank you for your help and support. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Brothers and sisters, praise be to Allah. We're going to go ahead and get started with our Jumu'ah prayer today. We thank Allah. This is actually June 3rd, 2022. And I don't know why I'm confused about that. I was thinking of the Islamic calendar, and we know that this is the year 1443. And the last day of Shawwal, I believe. And the month of Shawwal, that's the month after Ramadan. So we are grateful. If anybody can hear me, please put your phone on mute and stand by. We thank Allah for guiding us to the Jumu'ah today, and we're going to go ahead and call the second Adhan. And we thank Allah for his mercy and his forgiveness, his help, and for letting us be Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means all praise is due to Allah. I'm going to call the Adhan. That is the call to prayer. Adhan literally means ears, and we want to get the attention of the people by calling a loud call to let them know, to inform them that the Jumu'ah prayer is about to begin. So congregate or come to the area where the Adhan is being called from. We're going to call the Adhan, the loud call to prayer.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah,
la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Praise and thanks to Allah. Brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and open up the prayer with the authentic speech or sayings of the authentic announcement that Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, used to start the Jumu'ah. And it goes like this in his language, or in the Arabic language, in his language, the Holy Quran language, which is Arabic, and it goes like this. Inna alhamdulillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa man sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man Yad waman yudil waman yudil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu wa anna muhammad abduhu wa rasuluhu. May Allah forgive me for those mistakes and pardon me, brothers and sisters. I don't happen to have my glasses on, and the Arabic that I'm reading is small. But that in the English translation, which is a little larger and easier to read, it says, praise be to Allah, we seek his help and his forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own soul and from or against our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides will never be led astray. And whomsoever Allah leaves to stray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, is his servant and his messenger. And we want to strongly add that Allah has no partners. Muslims do not worship idols. We do not worship statues. We do not worship pictures and images. We do not worship anything that you can see or hear or taste or smell or touch. We don't worship anything from the material world. We don't worship any created or made thing. We worship the Creator who has made everything. We worship the Creator of the heavens and the earth upon whom everything depends. He created the whole creation, and everything is under him. Everything is weak and has no existence unless Allah gave it existence. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying and understanding what I'm saying, and I hope your heart is open to what we're talking about, that statement that I just made. As a servant of Allah, we want to let the whole world know that we are weak, that we have no power, no strength, except what Allah grants us, except what he gives us. We have no life, no existence, except what Allah has made for us and that he gives us, that he has granted us. So we want to make that perfectly clear, that we are the servants of Allah. You are the servants of the Creator who made you, and he is the Creator upon whom you depend, and everything you see, hear, taste, smell, touch, imagine depends. Everything that exists depends on Allah. So the more we understand that, and the more we accept that, the more we live that, then the stronger we will become in our faith, the stronger we will become in our commitment to our Creator, the more blessed we will be, the more peace will come to our minds, the more harmony will come to us. Heaven and earth cannot exist without Allah. He made them and he sustains them. Says it right in the Holy Quran that if he he created and sustains the heavens and the earth, and if he should not support them or aid them or sustain them, they would stop functioning. The translator uses they would cease to function. That's the definition of the words that he uses. That everything would cease to function, would stop functioning. It would not exist. It would have no power if it were not for the power and the blessing, the permission, the will, and the might of Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth. I mention all these things, taste, smell, hear, touch, feel. Those are all physical things. And through our imagination, our great imagination, we can touch something with our minds or with our hearts or with our feelings without physically touching it. So that's another realm or insight or ability or a functioning of our existence, that we have a physical functioning and we have a spiritual or an unseen functioning where we can imagine things. We can just taste something without even putting it in our mouth because our mind says, oh, I know what that tastes like. Or we smell something and we say, I know what that is. But it's only Allah's mercy that gives us these powerful abilities. And sometimes people fall in love with those abilities and talents and skills and gifts that Allah has blessed them with. And they start thinking that they have all this power, all this independence, all this ability to do stuff. and to make an impact on the material world. Well, I'm here to tell you that your abilities, your skills, your movement does not have existence or relevance. It has no power. It has no reality. It has no reality except what Allah has blessed you to be able to feel or sense. In fact, we're called sense beings, right? Sense. And we can have a sense, you know, we have a sense of taste, smell, touch, feel, smell, hearing. We have a sense of these things. But we have higher senses too. I have a sense that you don't love me. I have a sense that you're trying to trick me. I have a sense that something is going on. I have a sense, and we call them different words. We say, oh, that's suspicious. Oh, that's your romance. And so we have various names for them, but they're called higher senses. And some people categorize them as the sixth sense. But none of these things have existence or reality except as Allah gives them to mankind or gives them to the creation because, you know, a horse can smell and taste too. A horse can, you know, he can feel fear, a sense of fear. You know, a cat can sense. Some animals are more sensitive than others. So we know that a cat will be gone long before some mate of the cattle. And a cat is smarter than a dog. But a cat can't smell as far as the sense of smell doesn't work as good as a dog. You know about these things. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you there's very, very, very high spiritual things, moral things that exist that man must live if he wants to live the best life on earth. He has to have faith. He has to believe that he can get better and better. He has to believe that he can do something that he imagined. Other people don't even know he's thinking about that. But he is imagining to do something. It may be to do a hostile takeover of the company. They don't know he's getting ready to attack them and take over their business. Allah can let man sense things, feel things, imagine things, step beyond or outside of his normal movement, physical or spiritual, into higher and higher things. And the great blessing for man is if he's reaching up to the divine, reaching up to Allah, reaching up to the Creator and asking the Creator for a connection, for a connection. And we can get that connection if we would submit ourselves to what the Creator wants for us. Most people don't realize this. If you submit yourself or give yourself to what the Creator wants for us, what he wants for you, then you will have the best and the really, truly only opportunity to be completely happy, not just for now in this world with all your physical and material senses, spiritual senses, but also after you pass from this world into the hereafter, into the afterlife, after you die materially or physically, and then the Creator, if you have been connected to him in your life, if you have been obeying him, if you have been innocent, if you have been fighting to stay away from sins and crime and avoiding, that's the word I'm looking for, not fighting, but avoiding. It's a struggle too. But avoiding doing wrong, if you have been working your life in your life to obey what the Creator has in his words that he sends to mankind through messengers, if you obey that revealed information from Almighty God, that revealed knowledge, then you will be what we call submitted to his will. And his will for you is the highest will. It's the benevolent will. It's the will that wants you to do only good and receive only good. It wants you to have the highest things, the best things, the things that are the best for you, and the things that pleases the Creator. Our worship. Allah says he loves worship. Allah says in the Holy Quran, he has not created man or jinn. He has not created any being except for his worship and his service. He has not created mankind except for his worship and his service. And if we would worship and serve him, then we're called the Abdullah, slaves of Allah, servants of Allah, slave servants of Allah. If we would obey him, if we would serve him, if we would worship him sincerely, we will have eternal life. That's what he grants us. He gives us that. He promises that. He promises us good life forever. It's right in the Holy Quran. It says, وَعْدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَأَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That Allah has promised to establish you in life, it says on the earth. He has promised to establish you in society. He's promised to establish you in life, because it's talking about something bigger than just your society or your neighborhood. He has promised to establish you, kama astaklafa ladina min qablihim, or min qablikum, just like he established the people before you. You better believe there were people before us who worshiped just like we worship today. Muslims who worship just like we worship today. And there were other people who didn't call themselves Muslims, but they were doing the Muslim behavior. And so they had enough sense to call on the Creator. No matter what they call themselves, they had a sense of that there was a being or is a being that can help them and save them and reward them and purify them and guide them and establish them. But in the Quran, it's specifically talking to the Muslim when it says, Allah has promised to establish you in life just like he established those before you. There have been millions and millions and millions and billions of people who are called Muslims who believed in Allah and who believe in his messenger. This religion, al-Islam, is the youngest of the revealed religions. We call them the Ibrahimic religions, namely Judaism, Christianity, and al-Islam. And there were prophets who, you know, many, many, many major prophets whose names we know, who helped Allah want it for them and from them, what he expected from them. And these prophets, these messengers, these prophets helped the people learn how to worship Allah correctly. Well, the most correct worship or stage or phase of worship of Allah, we have it now, and it's the last one. It's the final one. And just like Allah sent revelation to Adam, Noah, David, Solomon, Abraham, Moses, you know the names, Shu'aib, Hud, Joseph, you know the names. But there's other names. There's other prophets whose names you don't know. Allah says in the Quran, there's prophets you know and prophets you don't know. But all of them help their people try to understand how to worship Allah correctly. But the last one was named Muhammad. Many of them received revelation that is still in some form in our lives. We know about the Bible and different books. We know about the Ten Commandments. Allah says in the Quran that the books of Abraham and Moses, Jesus had information, David had information, we call it the Sabur, or the Psalms. Moses had books we call the Torah or Ten Commandments. You've heard of the verses or the names of the books. But the greatest and the final, all of it, was revealed to Muhammad. Prayers and peace be upon him, and peace be upon all of those messengers that I mentioned, and peace be upon all of the messengers that whose names we don't know. Muhammad, because Allah blessed him with the final and the whole and the perfected and the completed and the corrected revelation. And when I say corrected, I mean that even though prophets received revelation before him, many things were lost, and some things were attacked by liars who tried to insert, and who did insert, words into these sacred books or sacred information, sacred knowledge that Allah had sent. They were successful at inserting things and changing it and taking out some things, and some things just became lost because people lost interest in religion. And Allah says in the scripture, if you forget him, he'll make you forget yourself. So that's why they went astray. When they forgot and stopped doing zikr, when zikr is the remembrance of Allah, when they forgot about Allah, when they disobeyed Allah, when they said religion is not important anymore, then Allah let them lose their way. They were, in fact, breaking their connection with the Creator, with their Creator. But Allah, in his infinite mercy, again and again, sent them help and said, come back to me. Come back to me. That's what the revelation is basically saying. Allah is calling you. It says that Allahu ad'u ila daru salam. That Allah does call to him. He calls to himself. He calls to the home of peace. You know, we call the Muslims, that means the peace or peacemaker. And the previous scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers. And the very name of our religion is the religion of peace. Islam means peace or submission, surrendering to the Creator, keeping your connection with the Creator, following the will, the words, the guidance that the Creator sent. So we still have our connection, but there were others who lost their connection, and Muhammad, peace be upon him, is their chance. The people of other messengers rebelled against the messengers, said, oh, fui on you. Turned away from the messengers, lied on the messengers, backbit and would backbite and set up the messengers, you know, trick them, lie on them, tell lies on them, say that the messenger, we aren't following him because he's a fornicator. We're not following him because he goes with his daughter. We're not following him because he drinks. You know how they say, Jesus drank wine. Jesus didn't drink alcohol. You have to say, who told you that? Say, well, the Bible told me. Who gave you the Bible? And you are surrounded by people who prove to you every day that they're the enemies of God. They're the enemies of Allah. These are people who look for drugs to put in their body, poison, to put with their natural God-given chemistry. They're looking for poisons to mix in that chemistry so that they will alter their reality, alter their chemistry, and thereby alter their ability to act and interact and behave in their life, and they stumble around. We call it drunk. Or sometimes they like to call it high. But actually, high is an Arabic word which means alive. But when you put the poison in your body, you're attacking the good life. You're attacking the life, so you're not more alive. You're actually dead. You're killing yourself. The wicked ones have convinced the people it's okay to drink alcohol. Allah says in the Holy Quran, do not drink alcohol. Alcohol and gambling are an abomination of the devil's behavior, the devil's work, the thing that the devil calls you to. He calls you to these things. Allah calls you to what's right, the home of peace. He calls you to virtues. He calls you to righteousness. He calls you to cleanliness. He calls you to sobriety and peace, honor, dignity, good health, happiness, joy, good sense, intelligence, high faculties for learning and perceiving the environment that you're living in so you can learn to handle it, adjust it, work with it so that you can advance your life in the life of the world, in material life. And by doing what's right in the material world, you can gain the afterlife and be happy and peaceful and all that forever. But you don't want to mix drugs and alcohol. You don't want to mix sin and crime, abortion, homosexuality. Look how we're the only ones that's calling you to not do the bad things, but to, we're calling you to do the good things. These people are fighting each other over the whether to or not to kill their own future, kill their own children. Under what circumstances should we kill the child? This is what they're arguing about. Why can't we have guns? They don't want guns for defense. And I understand the hunters, they want guns. But they have to make it a big, giant debate, common sense or good sense, which would tell everybody, don't shoot guns at people. Don't attack your children. Don't attack your family. Don't attack your neighborhood. Don't drive around and shoot your fellow citizens as though they were the enemy of your state or the enemies of your country. We're not at war with our own citizens. So they have lost their way. They have lost their common sense. They got whole cities built and whole sections of cities, coast to coast, built on gambling or that allows gambling, gives them permits to gamble. Who gives them these things? Who's talk? Whose rules, whose policies, whose laws, so-called laws, whose whims and urges urge them to do crazy? Allah asks right in the Quran, what is it their senses that urge them to do these things? What urges them to violate the rules of law, the rules, I'm talking about Allah's law, common sense, dignity, decency, honor, wholesomeness, health? Homosexuals, they violate hygiene, they violate health, they're passing diseases, they're creating diseases, and people can't figure out whether or not it's okay. They have manipulated and worked policies that will allow homosexuality and perversion. They will allow it in almost every institution in the country and many parts of the world. And will dare the sensible people, the natural people, the God-fearing people, the honest people, will dare you to attack them or say bad things against them or to write bad things against them or to make movies about them when and about how evil and wicked and sick and perverted their life and so-called life and lifestyle is. But they will try to take you to court and take your rights from you. You don't have the right. They'll tell you, the homosexuals and the deviants, the sexual deviants, will take you to the judges and the lawyers, the politicians, will tell the natural people you don't have the right to push these people out of your school, to push these people off of your jobs, to push these people out of your neighborhood, to push these people off of your property. You own property, and they'll sue you if you don't let them live there because you say, I can't let you live here because of what you pronounce that you do. They don't even try to hide it. If they was in their house and did their nasty stuff, nobody would know it. But they don't even try to hide how perverted they are. They want to force you to recognize their nastiness, force you to accept their perverted and deviant ways, force you to be force their sodomy and their weirdness, the announcement of it on you. They don't be doing it in the public that you see, but they come into the public sphere, come into the public area, come into the public speech, come into the media and into the broadcasting, and announce that we can have any right we want. We can parade. We can talk it. We can write it. We can sing it. You know, they got songs about that foolishness there. Brothers and sisters, the Muslim believers and the Muslim community, we must continue to be strong. We're the only ones continuously calling you to what's right. And that's our job. Then why we got to go to Juma all the time? Because our community, communities that have taken a pledge of allegiance to Almighty God Allah,
if the country breaks down, we don't want the country to break down, but our allegiance with the country only goes so far. It does not supersede, excel, go beyond our allegiance to our Creator. It does not. We will not pledge allegiance to the policies and to the perversions of any judge, any politician, any lawyer, any law, any stuff, any environment, any boss on the job. We don't, if the pervert sit next to us, we have just as much right to get up. We got more right because the earth belongs to Allah and he gives it, he's created the people naturally. He has not created no perverts. They made themselves that way. Allah said it is not him who oppresses, it is the people who oppress their own soul. That's what it says in the Holy Quran. So, and that's why they want to attack the Quran. They said on the TV not long ago on the news, we want to have a book burning. We want to burn the Holy Quran. Why you want to burn the Holy Quran? Because they're scared of the Holy Quran. Why they're scared of the Holy Quran? Because it contains Allah's words on what you really should and should not be doing. We have what we call halal. That's what you should be doing. And haram. You should not be doing that. So they want to burn the Quran. They want to burn Allah said, and they want to use the media, the airways. They want to use the news. They want to use the internet, computers, internet, or the phones, and they want to type up and write up and talk, blow, Allah said, blow with their mouth. Allah says they want to blow with their mouth and try to blow out his words. Allahu yutimu nurihi wa na'lau karihal kafirin. Allah says they want to blow out his light. They want to blow out his light with their mouth. The yutfiu nurullahi bi afwahihi. Wallahu nuri, wallahu yutimu nurihi wallahu karihal kafirin. So Allah says that there's those who want to blow out his truth, blow out the light of his truth. The light means that it is the thing that illuminates or shows you. It lets you clearly see where you're going in life. In other words, they want to blow out Allah's guidance. They want to blow out the ability to see his path that we should be going on. They want to blow out his the call that he's given us. They don't want us to be seeing it. They want us to be blind to guidance, blind to what is really right. Sometimes I get so excited that I could forget things, but I speak three languages. So if I don't remember it in Arabic, then I'll tell you in English. If I know something in Spanish and I can't say it in Spanish or Arabic, I'll go ahead and tell you in English because I can put it in English three or four or five or 10 different ways to make sure that you understand it. That's why the Holy Quran has, I think, over 100 translators put into over 100 languages. The Arabic has been translated by translators, and most of the translators are English speaking. So that's why there's so many English translations. You got Mal Dudi, you got Yusuf Ali, you got Pickthall, you got Malana Ali. You know, you got all these Sahih Muslim. You got all these not him. But he's a translator of hadith and a verifier of hadith, a great sheikh that lived long ago. But we have many, many, many dozens and dozens and dozens of translators from the Arabic into English. So if you read three or four or five translations, for sure you're going to get so close to the Arabic that you'll just be happy and amazed, and many people will be satisfied. But I'm here to tell you that the English translation does not completely and never will completely satisfy with the revelation that is in Arabic.
That's what the Quran really is, Arabic. Holy Quran is Arabic, Quranic Arabic. The English will never satisfy that because inside of the Arabic, that's the divine revelation of Allah, the word of Allah sent to Muhammad because Muhammad spoke Arabic, and so Allah revealed it, sent the angel Gabriel to give it to him in Arabic. He sent the angel Gabriel, peace be upon him, to give it in Aramaic to Jesus. He sent the angel Gabriel to give it in Hebrew to Moses, and on, Hebrew to David, or whatever language the messenger speaks. Well, this, the final messenger, and Allah's most beloved messenger, the one who lived the Islamic life, who lived life and then lived the revelation, lived the guidance of Allah so completely, so well, so thoroughly, in such a great manner that Allah says he's, that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is his beloved, his most beloved, his better than a sweetheart. I'm not talking about a male or female. I'm talking about the most beloved. Just Allah loves him because he is the best of the messengers. In fact, he has a title called Khairu Mursaleen, which means that he is the best of all of the messengers, all the people that were sent by Allah to reveal or to give Allah's revelation, give Allah's guidance to mankind, and Muhammad was the best of them. And he's the last one. And all of the revelation he got, the Holy Quran, is perfect guidance, and it mentions things that were long forgotten, mentions things that the people who tried to change what the prophets brought them by adding in things, taking out things, lying on the messengers. The Quran corrects all of that. And it says that anything that is important, we have it in the Quran. All matters of importance, the things that are most important to mankind's success and guidance, Allah has that, and he sent that to Muhammad in the Holy Quran. And there's even more, but we won't see it until we die and pass from this life, because there's a book called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the Quran, the mother of the book, the mother. That's all revelation that Allah wants, ever wanted mankind to know. It's in there. But Allah says that the amount we have in what's called the Holy Quran, that's enough, more than enough for us. That's enough for us. And we thank Allah for his guidance and his help. We thank Allah for his mercy and his forgiveness. We thank Allah for giving us Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of all of the messengers, with the Holy Quran, which is a perfect book, clear book. Allah says, لا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. That there is no matter that you could question that Allah has sent the perfect answer, the truth, and the perfect way of you understanding that truth. That's one of the verses in the Holy Quran. So that's why the Muslim is so wise. The believer is so wise. He's so smart. He's so knowledgeable. That's why his nature can become so clean so fast. That's why a person can convert to al-Islam by taking the pledge, to pledge allegiance to Allah. We call it the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha, I bear witness that there's nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, his servant and his messenger. The Quran leaves out nothing. Our religion leaves out nothing. So if you submit yourself to Allah, you will notice a change in your life happening pretty soon. You will improve pretty soon. You will get better and better and better. Allah has promised to establish us. Our religion is called the most comprehensive religion on earth, the fastest growing religion on earth, the most complete, comprehensive, the most complete religion on earth. Every day, our 2 billion people, all of them, calling on Allah. I know a lot of people say, oh, there's 2 billion Christians, though. There's 2 billion Catholics. There's 2 billion of this and that. But how many of them every day stop 5 times a day? How many of them stop 4 times a day? How many of them stop 3 times a day? How many of them stop once a day? How many of them stop once a week and call on the Creator and say, save me, help me, guide me, show me the right way. Let me improve my religion. Let me improve my allegiance to you, Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah. No, they don't stop. We stop 5 times a day, every day. And if we miss it, we miss one prayer, we make it up. Or we intend to make it up. How many people pray 5 times a day, call on the Creator, and actually call him by his name, Allah, and pray to him for guidance? Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. With your name, Allah, with your name, I'm calling on you. First, I say Allahu Akbar, as though I'm getting your attention, although Allah is never absent at any time or place. That's for us. I know I'm calling on Allah. And so Allah shows me that I'm doing a good thing by letting myself know what I should be doing, which is call on Allah. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm starting this with your name, Allah, most gracious. You are most gracious. You are the most merciful. Maliki yawmiddin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Praise be to you, Allah, Lord of all the world, Master of the Day of Judgment. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Lord of all things that exist. Lord of all existence. Maliki yawmiddin. Master of the Day of Judgment. Iyaka na'budu. You alone I'm calling upon. How many people in the world are doing that 5 times a day? Those are just some of the verses of they're called Al-Fatiha, which means the opening chapter. It wasn't the first one revealed, but it is the one that we are told that if you don't include Al-Fatiha in your prayer, when you're praying your five daily prayers, then the prayer is not even, it's no good. You have to say those words. And those words are accepted by Allah. They were given to us by Allah. And we use them to show Allah that we have for sure and for real pledged our allegiance to him. And we show that 5 times a day by stopping whatever we're doing and making our prayer 5 stated times a day. We got to pray before the sun comes up. We don't pray at sunrise. We don't pray when the sun is at high noon. We don't pray when the sun is going down or going down. Pray before the sun comes up. We pray just after the noon is, after the sun is high at the noon. We pray just after that period. We pray in the mid-afternoon. We pray before, we pray after the sun goes down, and then we pray in the dark. 5 times a day all over the world. How many people? Hundreds of millions. How many people? Over 1,000 million every day. How many people? 2,000 million people stop what they're doing and call on Allah. And if everybody's not doing it, that number would be negligible. If I owed you $10 and I say, you know, can I pay you back a penny? You would get mad. You would get mad. So if anybody's not praying their 5 times a day, they know they should, because the word is completely part of our religion and completely spread all throughout our culture called the Islamic culture, the Muslim culture. And we are called the Muslim people, those who belong to the Islamic way of life, who have pledged to Allah and pledged their allegiance that they will live the Islamic way of life and doing it the way that Muhammad taught us to do it, peace be upon him. That's why he's called the best messenger and the guide for mankind, so that everybody, and he followed that guidance that he got from Allah through the angel Gabriel, peace be upon them,
He followed that guidance perfectly. So those who do what Muhammad did, they have the best chance of being the best person in any environment they live in by patterning themselves on Muhammad's behavior, because he was the best behavioral, best person who behaved or performed for Allah that ever lived. I hope that's clear. That should tell you something about your identity, Muslim. It should tell you that you should stop boo-hooing and crying and worrying about what the world thinks and what the world keeps telling you to do, and just do what Muhammad did. It's right in the Quran. And there's books that talk about his life. But Muhammad lived everything that's in the Quran perfectly, because that is his guide. That was his guide when he was alive, and that is his guide right now, and it's all of our guide, the Holy Quran. In fact, one verse in the Holy Quran calls it the leader, calls it the imam. The book itself is called imam. What human being can come up and say, hey, I can guide you better than the Quran? No. The man who led us, perfect guidance of the Holy Quran, is named Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Prayers and peace be upon him. And he lived over 1,400 years ago, and there's no one living, no one will ever live, that can do a better job than him at following what we have in our hand as revelation that Allah sent, that's called the Holy Quran. Quran means that which is to be recited and lived. Learn, recite it and live and read. Learn through reading it, reciting it, and living it. That's what Quran means, and we got to recite it and teach it to others. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that Allah Most High says that if you learn the Quran and teach it, whoever's listening to it gets a reward comparable to what you get. And he said that for every letter that you recite or repeat from the Quran, you get 10 rewards. I hope you fasted real good during the month of Ramadan, because you got more rewards than you ever will be able to count in your whole life just from this Ramadan this year. Because every letter that's read in the Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan, every good deed you do is rewarded 10 to 700 times or more. That's what happened to you during the month of Ramadan. And the devil was locked up, so he couldn't prevent you from doing anything good. Yeah, the devil's locked up during Ramadan. And I hope you also fasted during the 6 days of Shawwal after the month of Ramadan, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as an extra blessing, Allah, any who fast, the 6 days, any who the 6 days of Ramadan, the 6 days of Shawwal after the month of Ramadan, any who fast those 6 days, he said, it's like that and Ramadan put together, it's like they're fasting all the time. So you're getting rewards more than you can count, and you're getting them all the time if you fasted the whole month of Ramadan and the 6 days of the Shawwal fast. I try to do it every year. But keep in mind, the month of Ramadan itself is so potent for you, because during the month of Ramadan, you are commanded to recite the whole Holy Quran during the month. You are commanded to recite the whole Holy Quran. So the best opportunity that you are going to get to view and understand and connect with the Holy Quran, recite the Holy Quran, see the Holy Quran, and have its guidance available to you is going to be during the month of Ramadan, because you are commanded to recite the whole Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan. Is it just you reciting the Quran? No. You get a chance to get the blessings of and the opportunity to be connected with and feel the camaraderie and the unity of the whole Muslim community, over 2,000 million people reciting the whole Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan together. All praises to Allah. Everybody,
Oh, praise it to Allah. Why am I telling you this? Because it's our job as Muslims to inform each other, to help each other, to make this knowledge plain and don't hide it. One of the biggest sins that exists that the children of Israel used to do all the time was hide revelation. Hide it and forget about it. It's stated in the Quran that they would throw the book of Allah away behind their backs. They would throw it away behind their backs, which means that they would just put it away and forget about it or not practice it. Not practice it. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, they would not practice or do what they already knew to do. Because if you know anything about the Jews, they love being people of knowledge. So they would have the knowledge, but they wouldn't follow it. They would have the knowledge, but they wouldn't propagate it or tell you about it. They would have the knowledge, just like they do today. You can't be a Jew. You can only be a step Jew, as they would call you, or an artificial Jew or something. I don't know what the exact word for it is. And you can't be a real Jew unless your father is a Jew. If your mother was a Jew only and not your father, then you can't be called a real Jew. I believe that's correct. And if I'm wrong, I will apologize. But I'm not going to apologize because I don't think I'm wrong. You know, they love to come and track you down and make you apologize, call you anti-Semitic and all that. I'm not being anti-Semitic. In fact, one of the greatest Semites, the greatest Semite that ever lived, is the messenger of Allah. His name is Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a Semite because he's an Arab. And the Arabs are the children of Abraham, just like the Jews are the children of Abraham, just like the Christians are the children of Abraham, except that the Arabs and the Jews have a blood tie, a blood tie. So every time you hear a Jew open his mouth and say you being anti-Semitic, say, are you talking about the Arabs or the Jews? Because they, you know, they like to say that they are chosen and nobody else, everybody else ain't nothing. So they know that they're related to the Arabs through Abraham, but they will deny the Arabs, they will deny the blood that's in their own veins against the Arabs and tell you that, no, their blood is not in our vein. We are the true inheritors. We are the sons. In fact, some of them call themselves the sons of God. Mm-hmm. They tried to put that lie on Jesus. Jesus said, no, no. He said, I come not of myself, but of him who sent me. I'm not God. I'm not a God man, a God in the flesh. I'm not that. There's no such thing, brothers and sisters. We are Allah's servants, and we must obey him. And anyone who does not obey Allah, he will receive a punishment. He will be set back. Allah calls it in the Holy Quran, he will live a life narrowed down. He will be a backslider. He will be a hypocritical person. He will be one who receives no guidance and no help from Allah. That's what it says in the Quran. So as a Muslim, you should thank Allah that you're a Muslim, because some other Muslim is going to always reach out and pull you up. He may not even know you, but if you hear him say, Allahu Akbar, you're going to know what he's saying. That's a help for you right there. You heard him say something of our religion. If you hear him say something from the Holy Quran and your ears hear it, your heart hears that, your mind hears that, your heart detects it. Your heart detects it. You got pulled up by somebody else that you don't even know. But you know he loves Allah, so it helps you too. Oh, praises to Allah. And Allah tells us about the children of Israel and the pagan Arabs and others who they have hearts. But their heart don't want to open up and understand. Their heart don't want to believe it. Their heart don't want to accept it. Their heart don't want to follow it. Their heart don't want to obey it. It says, "Kulubuhum, lahum kulubuhum, wala yakahuna biha." They have hearts, but they won't follow it with their heart. They know, but they won't follow it with their heart. And then it says, "Lahum ayunun." They have eyes. But they won't want to see. They don't want to take a look at it. They don't want to believe in it. They turn it away. They'll throw it around, throw it behind their backs, and act as if it is something they did not know. That's what Allah said in the Quran. That follows up what I was trying to say a little while ago. They treat the revelation of Allah
as if it was something they did not know. And if you know anything about the Jews, they love to study. They love to learn. They love to play like they're the most superior being on the planet. They love to say, I'm better than you. I'm better than he. I'm better than you. And Jesus, because of that behavior, Jesus called them the children of the devil. See, you're just like your devil, just like your father, the devil. You're just like your father, the devil, that he was a liar and a murderer. Now, who would want Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, to tell them that they're liars and murderers? That should shake them so bad, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. Please. Forgive me. Accept me, please. I'm not going to do bad no more. That's what they. That's the attitude and the spirit they should have. But Allah says no. Their rebellion drives them deeper into corruption, deeper in the sin, deeper in the crime. So they happy to get the money and not the blessing. They happy to build the buildings and not get the blessing. They happy to live on the hilltops or by the ocean or in some secret place where they don't even want you around. You can't go there. Country, hide out in the country, they hide. Allah says in the Holy Quran, they watch you from a place where you can't see them. You don't know that they're using all kinds of devices and all kinds of schemes to herd you into an area where they can keep an eye on you. Yeah, they herd you with their fake laws and their policies. And they know what you're going through. They know they got you stuck in alcohol. They know they got you stuck in gambling. This, the devil knows this. The children of Israel know that they got you stuck in all kinds of corruption, homosexuality. They made that stuff up. They made up the laws that let people freely be sissified in the society. They love and know that they're taking and trying to pervert the nature of the male to make him want to be a female. They know that they're doing that to the minds of the people. They're the big sociologists. They're the big psychologists. They're the big social wizards and science wizards. They brag about that. Nobody's smarter than us. That's why Jesus said, who was way smarter than them, because he could see them with the revelation of Allah. And he told them, you know what? You're nothing but the children of the devil. That's what the prophet, peace be upon him, said. And the Holy Quran, if you read the Holy Quran, you'll see how they rebelled against Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how they rebelled against revelation from all kinds of messengers down through time, starting out with the rebellion of Cain murdering his own brother Abel. Yeah, we know about Adam making a slip and disobeying God. But Adam didn't turn around and kill Eve. Adam didn't try to commit suicide. Cain killed his own brother, then tried to hide. And he said, I don't even know how to hide. He was so amazed and, what's the word, disgraced and ashamed. Brothers and sisters, let us be so grateful that we're Muslim. Allah said they have ears. Wallahum. But they have ears. They hear you. They know you're suffering. They know they're causing you conflicts. They know they're teaching your women not to respect you and to drive you out of the house. They know they're trying to make your women, make the women into an agent against, a secret agent against the males, make the women try to take over the man's natural role and pretend to another woman that she is her man. They know they can. They know how to do that. They're the social scientists. They're the social science wizard, and they brag about owning the media and owning the money center and owning the athletic teams and the music industry, which brings them just mountainous amounts of wealth that everybody loves. But Allah tells you, don't follow wealth. Who is wealthier than Allah? Allah owns everything. You're going to bow down to gold? You're going to change your name to gold and silver? You're going to change your name? That's how much you love the wealth of the world?
No, Allah says in the Holy Quran, the best thing you can do, is worship Him, serve Him, love Allah with all your heart, your mind, your soul. That was told by prophets thousands of years ago when it was talking, when they were talking to nobody but the children of Israel. But did they obey? Did those children of Israel obey the prophets, obey those messengers? No, they didn't. They lied on them. They set them up, and Allah said in the Quran, some of them they went so far as to murder. Some of them they even killed because they didn't want to hear it. They didn't kill Jesus. But what they did do, kill his influence and kill his name and kill his direction by giving you a picture or a statue and saying that's Jesus and making it making the people think that the Europeans have the guidance when they certainly don't. Making you think that that's Jesus and that they killed him, and so now you're just in the world with a Jesus that doesn't have his guidance, the real guidance that he brought. You don't get that. You get what they tell you is allowable in the religion of Jesus, the religion they say is Jesus' religion. So you get into Christianity, and before you know it, it's unfortunate, but before you know it, homosexuality attacks you, gambling attacks you, cigarette and tobacco and all kind of all that. Slavery attacks you. Idol worship attacks you. Adultery, fornication is approved. Gambling is approved. All that nakedness is approved. You can go to the woman can go to up in the churches and she can be almost buck naked and they ain't gonna put her out. They got a saying that says, "Come as you are, come as you are." I've seen preachers tell people, "Hey, you can't do that here." And the other people in the church would say, "Hey, you said we could come as we are." Brothers and sisters, we will not allow al-Islam to be trashed and hijacked like that. We can teach you about the real Jesus, and all you do is be with us as a Muslim, getting the greatest knowledge that exists. You won't be trapped by the children of Israel who made up a big lie and gave it to the people and called it Christianity or called it what Jesus teaches. You know Jesus wouldn't stand for the stuff you see people doing in this society. You know he wouldn't. But you think he would because you've been told a lie that he would approve this stuff so long until you think everything is okay. You say, "Jesus loves everything. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus loves everybody." Don't lie on Jesus. They were already doing wicked stuff before Jesus came. What did he come to change then? He would come to change the wicked stuff. Otherwise, he wouldn't have even had to come. Alhamdulillah. Allah says that those who won't listen to their heart, won't open their eyes, won't use their hearing, he said they're like cattle. Like cattle. And the rest of the verse says, no, they're worse than cattle. Like cattle, worse than cattle. And then it says that they're heedless. They won't mind. They won't listen. They won't obey. You cannot guide those who are that dead and that blind and that deaf. Alhamdulillah. We're going to go into the second part of the talk, and it's going to be short. We thank Allah for guiding us and helping us and saving us and giving us this religion called al-Islam. We're going to teach it and preach it because we get richer and richer and richer when we do it. And we've made a contract, a pledge. We pledged our allegiance to Allah to do what he says to do. And he says, call people to Allah. Call them to Allah. That's what it says in our religion. Call them to this faith. Call them to the faith. And don't ever stop calling them to the faith. And you yourself, be steadfast. Be steadfast in your religion. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Don't hang up. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala khair mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And brothers and sisters, that means praise be to Allah and peace be upon Muhammad and his family and his companions. Muhammad, who is the best of all of the messengers, and peace be upon that he is the best of the messengers, Khair Mursaleen, and that peace be upon his family and all of us the world over. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, we once again want to let you know that we appreciate you in the Jummah. We want to let you know that there's many people who need to open their mouths. That way you can really feel more like a Muslim, because if you be too quiet too long, your light will get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So you must practice your religion. You must practice your prayer. And don't be ashamed to let people know that you pray. Don't be ashamed to let people know that you eat different. You eat clean food. Don't be afraid to let people know that you are willing to wear loose clothing and not tight-fitting clothes, loose-fitting clothes, not tight-fitting clothes. Don't be ashamed to let people know that you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't use drugs, you don't hang out, you don't gamble, practicing prostitution and adultery and fornication, that you're not stealing, you're not lying on people, that your words are true and clean and good. They sense it. They know it about you. They know that you are superior and a blessed citizen of the earth. They know that about you. They can just look at you and tell you got something about you, because dignity and honor, integrity, trustworthiness, all those things stand out. They beam their brightness beams right through your flesh. Honor, decency, they bravery, courage, justice, beam right through your flesh. And Allah says he will reward you for every sacrifice you make. Everything you do as a Muslim carries a huge reward. When you go out in the neighborhood and you have a dollar, you spend it, it's gone. With a Muslim, when we spend in the cause of Allah, when we spend, it multiplies us in goodness. When we spend and use our charity, it multiplies us in goodness, and it helps other people, and it puts out evil. It destroys evil. It destroys crime. Just the example of doing right and doing righteousness, working good in society, is a beautiful thing to the heart of the average person. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, even if it doesn't reach their heart, even if they can't see it with their eye, even if they can't hear it with their ears, if they don't want to hear it, they don't want to see it, they don't want to recognize it, as they say, they don't want to accept it, even if they don't want to use their senses on any level, that's okay. Allah sees everything, and he's helping you all the time. He says he will never cut short the reward of any of you, whether they are male or female. He will pay you in full, more than in measure, more than what you can count. That's what it said. So we're getting blessed all the time. Do you realize just to even believe this, what I just said, just to believe that, gladdens your life, improves your life, develops your life? Oh, praise to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we're going to close. And may Allah guide all of us and heal those who are ill or sick or injured. May Allah bless those who have returned to him and are in their graves waiting for the day of judgment. May Allah give them light and give them ease and peace. Have mercy upon them, forgive them their sins, and admit them into paradise. We thank Allah for what he does for us. And we're grateful to Allah all the time. We remember Allah in everything we're doing. We call it zikr. That's remembrance of Allah. And it says right in the Holy Quran, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life. So, O Allah, have mercy upon us and forgive us and strengthen us, guide us. And we thank you for blessing us to keep our attention turned towards your guidance. turn towards you and your guidance. We thank you, Allah, for giving us the respect for Juma, the respect for the learning that you have available for us in the Holy Quran. We thank you, Allah, for the life of Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him and all of his family and his companions and all of the believers the world over. We ask you, Allah, to show us that we have the value that we hunger for in this society that has told us and has told the whole world that we are not good, that we are a less than, who will put it into their rules, into their books, and into their laws that we are not as good as anyone else on earth. But there's other people based on their color or based on their wealth or based on their so-called good name that are supposed to be better than us. But we know Allah, and show us Allah, show us that we have value and that we are the ones who are doing what you have ordered so that we will get the hereafter and we'll get good life in this life and good life in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-kharam rasaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Surely Allah, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And that means Allah and his angels do salute Muhammad. O you who believe, do you likewise? And give him a great salute. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Our Lord, give us wives and offspring that will be a comfort to our eyes and grant us the grace to lead the righteous. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina. Rabbana aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfina fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Our Lord, forgive us our sins and anything that we may have done that transgressed our duty. Establish our feet firmly and give us help against those who stand against faith. Inna Allah Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamid Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim ala ali Ibrahim. And that means, O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did exalt Abraham and his family. And O Allah, bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad as you did bless Ibrahim and his family, for surely you are praised and magnified. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabannar. Our Lord, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the chastisement or torment of the hell fire. Ameen. Akana salat. And that means call the people to stand up for prayer. Come to prayer. And give the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Now everybody should be standing to prayer, shoulder to shoulder, put your feet, foot to foot to the person next to you, and make sure the line is straight. We say astau. Astau means line up that line so that it can be straight. It literally means compare so that everything is comparable and exacting. This is Salatul Jumu'ah, two rakat. And we're praying to Allah alone. We're bowing to Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم Right on my doobie alley, humble at all lead. And this little Rahmani Rahim. تم خير أمة النكرز أبنى تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون الله أكبر
سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس مالك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر
سمي الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله that means highly glorified is Allah and he has no imperfection Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Now we're going to say alhamdulillah, which means all praises to Allah and much thankfulness is for Allah only. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Now we're going to say Allah is greater and more important than anything or anyone in creation. Allahu Akbar, 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 Allahu Akbar. Al-Fatiha. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, most gracious, most merciful, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Thee alone do we worship and Thee alone is aid we seek. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, show us the straight way. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and favor. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa ladh-dhalin, Ameen. Not the way of those upon whom your wrath is brought down, nor those that go astray. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata mustaqim. Dallarina an'amta alayhim. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa ladh-dhalin. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. I said it again just in case I made an error in the prayer. We strive for perfection in whatever we do as Muslims. Brothers and sisters, once again, we appreciate you. We want to let you know that we are grateful to Allah for you, and we thank Allah for his mercies to all of us, and we pray that you will be strong and steadfast and continue to be the best that you can be, and to work hard and to learn the Quran in the Arabic and to study the Quran all as much as you can. And Allah says in the Quran, He has made it easy to understand and remember. He has made it easy to understand and remember. That Allah has made the Holy Quran easy to understand and remember. Brothers and sisters, peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.